Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Menigan's personal buddy. They may be spending Thanksgiving together. I'm not sure. He's Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. And Charles, I've been busting his chops about how he bugs you with text messages all week long.
1 hour and 58 minutes until I no longer have to deal with this bozo, Charles.
Hey, I appreciate it. Well, trust me, I much rather engage with that form of communication than, I mean, like Twitter. Twitter just gets me in trouble.
Yeah, good idea, Charles. Hey, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me.
So your story to me makes nothing but complete sense. And you basically put the Browns in the same class as where, or the same position that the Tennessee Titans were in 2018. They had Marcus Mariota, terrific young quarterback, number two pick in the draft, and they weren't quite sure. And they went out and they signed an insurance policy slash competitor in Ryan Tannehill, and look what happened. Is that the synopsis in your estimation?
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much sums it up. I actually had a deeper reason for the Mariota comparison, because I know people in the Titans franchise. I've known them going back through the whole Mariota scenario, and it struck me how similar the conversations were for me with people inside the Cleveland organization as with the Tennessee organization. And which was, you know, when the Mariota thing was unfolding there, it was like a lot of optimism, a smidge of frustration over some injuries, you know, but knowing they'd seen flashes of like, okay, this was the guy we drafted. He can be a franchise quarterback. We believe this, we just got to get there. And stacking one season on top of another of sort of like, okay, we're going to get there. Okay, this is going to be it. This is going to be it. This is going to be the breakthrough. And then following his fourth season, really in the midst of the fourth season, feeling the tone change a little bit into, okay, we have to start to stare realism in the face and at least start to protect ourselves or think about, are there other options out there that can create thing here to either cause the breakthrough that we're reaching for, or give us an opportunity to turn another direction if ultimately we have to do that. And they didn't want to do that. They wanted to stick with Marcus. They wanted Marcus to have a huge, you know, fifth year when they picked up that option, and they wanted to sign him to a huge contract extension. But what they didn't want was to go into that scenario with everything sort of rested where it had been in the previous four seasons, just on Marcus. And I think, you know, that's sort of the scenario we're entering into with Baker. It's clearly everyone in the organization wants him to be that franchise quarterback. Clearly they've seen the flashes to make them believe it's possible. It's just, you know, you're now getting into a scenario where the team, you know, it's struggling right now, but it's not what it was before. There's talent there. You know, some coaching could get better. Some discipline could get better. You would hope the injury situation would improve. And there's an ability to establish a baseline of success here, sort of how Tennessee was looking at things back in 1998. It's just, if there's, you know, if this doesn't work out at quarterback, do we have an option, you know, that's going to allow us to still reach that baseline of success, to still establish that culture? And I think that's what the Browns, you know, now have to think about. And, you know, Tennessee went through the paces of, well, how can we address this? Do we attempt to deal for a big name quarterback, an established veteran, bring in someone that, you know, we will sign to a franchise deal and just roll forward with that kind of a player? Or do we look for maybe a value option, someone who we think has some talent, has struggled in their current franchise, and we go that route. And that's what they ultimately did with Tannehill. They you know, I think there were people inside Tennessee that said, look, not having his relationship with Adam Gase is not great. That is causing some problems here, but we know what his upside is. We know what, you know, the athleticism that's there, the tools we like. There's something to potentially work with. Let's bring him in. Let him compete with Marcus. And, you know, this potentially pushes Marcus to the point where he breaks through. We signed Marcus to the deal. Awesome. You know, we brought in a lead horse to just kind of, you know, get the best out of him. But instead, you know, Marcus got hurt again. And the same scenario that had played out the previous 4 years put them in a situation where they leaned on Tannehill, and, you know, Tannehill was able to resurrect himself. So I just think it's very similar to where Cleveland is now, where it's got to start thinking about, do we need a stalking horse? Do we need a replacement? Do we need, let's at least think through all of our options rather than just defaulting to, we drafted him one, he's our guy, we're going to stick with him. And if this goes down in flames, we go down in flames with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, really interesting.
So the question that a lot of us have been kicking around here, Charles, is
and sensible.
Is it merely falling on the shoulders of Baker Mayfield just not being able to execute the offense that is being put in front of him? Or is it also a play-calling situation where the coach, either due to lack of trust or due to fear of turnovers, is just not allowing him to push the ball down the field and push defenses to have to worry about anything else besides 15 yards in front of them?
You know, I don't want to answer for Kevin Stefanski, you know, in terms of why the offense is structured the way that it is. I think everyone there knows that, you know, what Baker's dealing with injuries, and that absolutely affects an ability of someone to be as sharp as possible. Do I think that, you know, maybe you sort of look, a ball's behind a guy, a ball's, you know, the ball location, you know, becomes an issue. And when ball location becomes an issue for a quarterback, you have turnovers because someone can't catch it cleanly, or it sails, or, you know, a back shoulder isn't where it needs to be. And maybe that's because of injury. Maybe that's because of injuries that aren't allowing someone to sort of get into their rhythm, get into their best ability to be consistent and, you know, make, I guess, every sharp decision, you know, the best it can possibly. I'll give you an example. Carson Wentz. When Carson Wentz was in Philly, they struggled for a long time with him working on accuracy, working on, you know, how he was setting his base up, just mechanics, a lot of different things. And at times, especially when Frank Reich was there, they felt like, okay, we have this under control. But then, you know, there would be injuries, and then Carson would kind of revert back to maybe some bad habits, you know, how he was, you know, maybe how he was setting up to throw. And the inaccuracy, it just got to a point where the Eagles were like, this isn't going to change. Like, this is, and it even got worse because he got into it with Doug Peterson and they stopped speaking. And like, Doug felt like Carson was uncoachable and was hard headed and like all these things. And so that like really went the wrong way. But the fact of the matter was, people internally were like, look, we just can't seem to, for whatever the reason is, we can't seem to coach this where it needs to be. And again, I don't want to answer for Kevin Stefanski, and, you know, people can break down the film themselves and see if things, you know, where ball location is where it needs to be. But it, you know, there is an instance where once you start to look at everything, you do see the deeper the offense goes, the more precarious things seem to get in terms of the turnovers. And in some ways, like even turnover luck at times, like there are interceptions that aren't always caught. And, you know, it's just, I think it's a collection of things, and there are only a couple of ways to address it. And it's, one is, okay, do we just keep stacking pieces around him, hope for the health to get where it needs to be, and then, you know, hope that he finally falls into sync with all these other pieces? Do we swap out the head coach? or do we swap out the quarterback and try to, you know, make it, you know, if it's a one move kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Swapping out a head coach is one move kind of a deal, although it's not really, because you can change an entire offense, a scheme, you know, the personnel required. Swapping out a quarterback is a one move kind of deal, as long as you have the pieces around him that are adapted to the next quarterback you bring in or whatever. I guess there's no real easy answer to this, other than to say you give your, the easy answer, honestly, is what I tried to express when I wrote that. Give yourself an option. You have to have an option. And if your option isn't total replacement, let's go get a veteran. And there are going to be a couple of veterans who are going to potentially be available on the market next offseason. If that's not the all-in move you want to make, you go and you get a distressed asset somewhere else that, you know, maybe you can get a la a Ryan Tannehill who needs a fresh start, and hope that, you know, you can create some success with another player. But I just think, unless, again, Baker lights it up the rest of the way and is able to be healthy, I don't know that you can just keep going through this same scenario over and over.
Charles Robinson joining us, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. The total replacement possibilities you mentioned, and we've talked about them on the past on the show, guys who have said at some point they weren't happy with their teams, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. I would think those might be long shots, Charles. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, you know, start with Watson. You don't know what the legal situation that's around him, that he's facing, you know, 22 civil suits. By at least by the offseason, there should be a word whether or not there's any kind of a grand jury indictment. And if there's no grand jury indictment, I don't think he'll be placed on the commissioner's exempt list unless the NFL, you know, I mean, there's still the civil suits. If he doesn't settle those civil suits, the NFL would have to come up with a reason why it's putting him on a commissioner's exempt list, when his legal camp can now say, hey, well, the grand jury didn't indict on any of this. So, like, if a grand jury is sitting here saying we can't force him to plead anything, we don't see something for him to plead to, how can you then punish him unilaterally without at least the civil suits running their course? So if that is, at least some element of that is cleared up, you still have Deshaun Watson would have to approve a trade to Cleveland. Is that unlikely? Yes. I think it's unlikely. I really, truly believe Deshaun Watson really wants to live in Miami, and Miami and Cleveland are not similar.
So, that is correct.
I think
thank God for that, being a Clevelander, by the way.
Right. Well, yeah, it depends how you feel about Miami. I'm not much of a Miami person either. But, you know, so there's – okay, so Deshaun Watson, I would say yes. Very, you know, fairly unlikely. And there would have to really kind of be an element of recruitment behind the scenes for that to even work. Or change. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, we'll see how things unfold with the Packers and Rodgers. I still think there's a chance that that's the number one seed in the NFC. And if they can somehow break through to a Super Bowl, Rodgers may have a change of heart, and the front office may have a forced change of heart in terms of how committed they are to restructuring that entire team moving forward. They're going to have some cap issues, have to be a contract extension, all kinds of stuff would have to happen there. I would put him on the next least likely. And then maybe the best chance is the one player no one's really talking about right now, is Russell Wilson. I still think Russell Wilson, given what happened last offseason, was all real. I think he definitely wanted to look at a potential trade opportunity out of there. Now, he got back into camp, said all the right things. He did the anti-Rodgers. He was like, I'm just going to say what causes the least amount of friction. I think there's a chance that the Seahawks don't finish the season the way they would like. I think there's a chance they struggle through the rest of the season and are going to be faced with, you know, okay, are we, you know, he's coming up on another contract extension. Are we going to give him this, you know, huge 4-year extension he's going to want, or are we going to, you know, entertain some trade offers that would be pretty lucrative for the Seattle Seahawks and probably give them a chance to rebuild a bit. You know, so I think Russell Wilson, in terms of the veterans, is probably one that maybe there will be a shot there that isn't obvious right now, but will become a little more obvious when the season ends.
Charles, last thing, if you're thinking Ryan Tannehill, I think there are three real clear options out there right now, and one of them is named Marcus Mariota, who is up with the Raiders. Jameis Winston is on a one-year deal in New Orleans, and he's hurt, so you know how does that play? And then there's a name that I've thrown out before, Mitchell Trubisky, who I didn't think was as bad as everybody said he was in Chicago, and he's from here, which may or may not be something in his favor. But those are exactly the Ryan Tannehill type of guys you're talking about, correct?
Sure. Yeah, and you know, I think here, first Jameis first, okay. I think the book's kind of been written on Jameis. I think that, you know, even though he's gone, he went to New Orleans, played for Sean Payton, there were still a lot of those frustrations and fear about some decisions Jameis would make, and they reined in a lot of, like, you remember Bruce Arians when he had him in Tampa, it was like, you know, it's the whole no risk it, no biscuit, go ahead, gun it, and they just, you know, when it was like the Hindenburg in flames, you know, like it was, and I think Sean Payton's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. Like, even though, like, we're going to run the ball, you're going to throw it 20 times a game, and we're going to reduce. I don't think that's the kind of, I'm not sure that's the reclamation project that Cleveland, I don't want to speak for the Browns. I don't know this for sure, but it doesn't seem like, and particularly given how far down the line, you know, Jameis is, and he's been through a couple of pretty good offensive coaches. Not sure that that's the play. Mariota, you know, I think that it would be a cheaper option. Not sure exactly what he is at this point in his career. I don't know that anyone really is. And I don't know that – I think part of the problem with him is, like, does he have the frame to just stay healthy? Like, it's not even really a skill set. It's just, does he have the frame to stay healthy? And you can't know that because he's not really a full-time starter now. Could be an option. Is cheap. I'm with you on the Trubisky thing. I think Mitchell Trubisky was on a Bears team that was a lot worse than people realized, particularly behind an offensive line that was really horrible. And he had his confidence was just crushed, I think, by the end there. I think not only just the constant, just sort of how he got berated constantly in the fan base, and, you know, the media was on top of him, and, you know, I think he really, really needed to get out of there and get a fresh start. And frankly, you know, I've talked to some people in Buffalo, and they're like, hey man, this guy's not talentless. This guy's got he's got a skill set to work with. He's got tools, and he's, you know, the things that people liked in Chicago are still there. Yeah, you know, that's definitely a possibility. But you know, maybe the lone difference is, I think Tannehill, although, you know, Trubisky had a flash there in Chicago, you know, Tannehill did have some decently, you know, sustained success, enough to get him a long-term deal at one point with the Dolphins. And then he ran into a head coach in Gase that it was just a really, really bad, it ended very, very badly. You can only, you know, I think as a lot of people have sort of suggested at this point, you can only take so much Adam Gase when things are going bad. I don't disagree with those options. I you know, Trubisky in particular, I think, is intriguing. But I really truly believe that this is just, unless something changes now going down the stretch, you have a team that has to consider all of its options. And by the way, we haven't even mentioned this idea of a contract extension.
No.
And there's just no way. I think there's no way you could ever look at that situation now and make any kind of a decision of any manner. You know, oh, is this a $40 million quarterback? Is it a $35 million quarterback? Is it a $30 million quarterback? I don't know that you really could make any kind of a decision long-term at this point.
Charles, thank you, sir. We appreciate your insight into this situation and your tolerance of Menigan. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, dude. Take care of yourself.
Hang in there, Dan.
I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, Charles. Bye. Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.